Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. As we continue our discussion of American Heart Month, we turn to oral care. People with poor oral health are at an increased risk of heart disease. More and more research is connecting the two, and here to make a connection for us and share some advice, we have Paul Kinect. He's Executive Director of the South Dakota Dental Association, and he's joining us by phone this morning from the State Capitol Building in Pierre. Paul, thanks for being with us today. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
This is not an area where a lot of people make the connection of you know, seeing your dentist and taking care of your heart. Give us an overview of what the connection between oral health and heart health actually is.
So there's about 30 years now of research that's documented the relationship between gum disease and cardiovascular disease. And even today, the causality is still elusive, but we know that there's a connection. We see a direct connection. And so, yeah, we are big advocates for keeping your mouth in good shape in order to keep the rest of your body in good shape.
Do we have any idea of how it works? When we think of, we were talking about plaque in the arteries, is that the same thing as plaque in your teeth? Are they two different? What is the connection?
So, yes, plaque. Plaque is exactly the word we're looking for here. So, our mouths are full of bacteria, and they live in the plaque that's in our mouth. That's the sticky stuff on your teeth. And, when that gets out of control, what we can see is inflammation of the gums, gum disease, periodontal disease. And as those inflammation numbers go up, in your mouth, we'll see a direct relationship to the effect it has on the heart. And so while we don't know exactly the connection, there's a lot of folks who believe that the inflammation might be, the tie there. Part of the challenge is there's a lot we don't know about inflammation's, impact on the body. Mm. But there's more to be known there, I guess, is what I would say.
All right. So based on what we do know, what are some of the behaviors that people should take to sort of give themselves the best chance?
Yeah, the great news there is it's pretty simple. Just some very basic things can make all the difference in keeping your mouth healthy and preventing gum disease. Our mantra is brush at least 2 minutes a day, two times a day. And so that very simple activity twice a day can make all the difference. It's even better if you supplement that with flossing. And then, of course, a regular cleaning at the dental office is important. Again, kind of common advice out there is to go twice a year. I think the reality is how often you should go depends on your personal situation. There are some really good diagnostic tools out there that help us figure out if someone has a mouth that's in great shape and doesn't need as much cleaning, we may advise, once a year may be fine. Other folks, three or four times a year may be more appropriate, especially if they're seeing the onset of gum disease or periodontal disease.
Hmm. Is that something that increases with age, or is there a genetic component with gum disease? And I mean, is it all self-care based?
Well, self-care is truly the key here. And I think as people age, you can see it more often, but it may not have as much to do with age as the other factors that come along with it. Sometimes as we age, we find ourselves on more medications than when we were younger. Mm-hmm. And some of those medications have a negative impact on our mouths in that we may find our mouths to be more dry, not as moist as they should be, and that really contributes to poor oral health. And so if you're someone who's on a lot of medications, you may need to supplement that with some oral rinses, other things that can help your mouth stay healthy. And no matter what age you are, I think another key factor here is a good diet. And that, obviously helps you in all kinds of ways, but we sometimes forget that a poor diet can have a negative impact on your oral health as well. particularly if you're consuming a lot of sweets. I mean, that sweetened beverages and other sugary substances are really the enemy of a good oral cavity and a healthy mouth.
Yeah. When you talked about flossing, some people use, you just floss with a regular dental floss, or do you, you know, the electronic tools that they sell, are there any benefits to those, to the water picks and such?
Yeah, there definitely is. My personal hygienist has convinced me to to move toward a mechanical toothbrush, an electric toothbrush, and that, you know, personally, I would say that I've seen the benefits of that. It's, you know, if you can afford it, it's a good investment, and they're not nearly as expensive as they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are someone who has periodontal disease or gum disease, a mechanical toothbrush can really help. It just does a slightly better job of cleaning. It stimulates blood flow to the gums. All of that helps you keep your mouth healthy. So, yeah, I would definitely recommend people consider that. I always ask your dentist or your dental hygienist what they think based on your personal situation, but it definitely has a benefit.
What are some of the things that people should do as far as, you know, talking to their dentist if they have a diagnosis? You know, they're at their doctor and they find out they have heart disease, or they're working, you know, with about diabetes, a diagnosis. Should you talk to your dentist? And how soon? Do you wait till your regular 6-month checkup and just give them the update? Or how?
Yeah.
I'm trying to, you know, get this idea of how closely do you collaborate with, you know, medical providers and dentists?
Yeah, that collaboration is really important. You know, it may surprise people to know that, you know, periodontal disease or gum disease, as we would commonly call it, is it's very common. Half of adults over the age of 30 have some form of gum disease. So if you're wondering whether you have it or not, it's a good thing to have a conversation about. There's some key indicators that most of us can watch for. If your gums are sensitive, if they're swollen, if they're red, if they bleed at all, that when you brush or floss, I mean, those are all indications that you probably have some level of periodontitis, and that you ought to visit with your dentist about that. What they're going to be doing is asking you to come to see the hygienist for deeper cleanings more often. And a lot of that can then be kept under control or even reversed if we get to it early enough. This is one of those things that will not improve on its own. You will have to get some professional care to get it under control and get your oral health back on the right track.
Hmm. A question from a listener right now. What about the new infrared teeth cleaners? Do you know anything about those?
So there's some new, laser types of cleaners out there. I don't know that those are... I don't know how much testing has been done, so I'm not going to be in a position to recommend that to somebody. The American Dental Association has a very extensive research laboratory component to it. And so generally anybody that wants to bring a product to the market for use by the general American public will have their stuff tested by the American Dental Association and then use that seal of approval to promote their product. And so I would tell people, if you're looking at any type of oral health care product, definitely look for that ADA seal, because if it's been if the seal's been given by the ADA, it's good for you. I mean, there's no doubt that it's been looked at thoroughly.
How about whiteners? Same thing. A lot of the toothpastes, might be ADA, might have that ADA seal on it. But there are a lot of different choices for whitening. In fact, I think it's kind of hard to find a toothpaste that doesn't say on it that it whitens anymore. What do we know? And this is sort of getting away from the conversation of heart disease, but I'm just curious about the onslaught of teeth whitening services and products.
They're everywhere. And, a nice smile does a lot for people. It makes a big difference in our appearance and the way other people perceive us. And so, whitened teeth are huge, and people are looking for those kind of products all the time. And so you're right. I mean, you can go out and find a standard toothpaste to this day, but I would tell you that when I look up and down the rows and rows of different choices, a high percentage of them have some kind of whitening component. And what they're trying to really just fight back there is just normal staining that comes with aging. If your teeth aren't perfectly white, it doesn't mean that they're not healthy. If you're a coffee drinker or a wine drinker, those kinds of products will eventually stain your teeth, and it can be reversed through whitening. Barely gets into the enamel there, but it can be changed. No downside to that at all to using those products. They can be, if you have sensitive gums, going back to our gum disease topic, you're gonna definitely tell that if you're using whitening materials. Yeah.
If you have, poor oral health and you have problems, there are a lot of people who have not gone to the dentist, for example, because they've been afraid to, or they couldn't afford to, or there was some reason that they've put this off, and maybe now that you have a problem, can it be turned around? What are the options for improvement?
Yeah, that's a great question. You're right. There's still a significant part of our population that has a phobia of the dentist. A lot of times it's based on an experience that they might have had as a child. And those things are hard to overcome. But the good news is, for the most part, especially when we talk about periodontal and gum disease, that with professional help, that can be gotten under control and managed very successfully. When you talk about tooth decay and that type of thing, it's a little bit of a different story. Your teeth are, they can't self-repair. If you break a bone, you can have that, set and put in a cast and your bones will heal. Once you have a cavity that has started on your tooth, that's not going to repair itself. It has to be addressed. And one of the challenges with your teeth is that even though you may have a cavity that's affecting your enamel, you won't feel the pain until it gets all the way down to the pulp. And so your teeth can be getting damaged even though you don't feel pain. But if you, see any type of, discoloration on your teeth, it's good to visit your dentist. The sooner you get it cared for, the less costly it will be, the less invasive it will be. Don't wait until you feel pain necessarily to get to the dentist.
And take care of your gums and help out your heart too. So that's the big message here on Heart Month. Anything else while we have you here from the South Dakota Dental Association that you wanted to make sure to point out to people? Having a good relationship with a dentist is clearly an important part of your overall health. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's just, as we talked about, a growing body of evidence about the connection between the health of your mouth and your whole body. There's new studies coming out on a regular basis, not just about the connection to cardiovascular disease, but also diabetes, premature birth. Whatever you can do to keep your mouth in good, healthy condition, it's going to help your whole body.
Paul Connect is Executive Director of the South Dakota Dental Association. He joined us on the phone from the Capitol Building in Pierre. Paul, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much.